So I thought I'd speak a little bit tonight about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very important for us to understand and appreciate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is the person who has descended to propagate the Yuga Dharma. Krishna says he descends every age. So in this Kali Yuga, the Lord has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One particular significance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, although he is God, he has come as a devotee. Why should that happen? Well, there's two reasons. One is a private reason, and the other is a public reason. And we'll talk about both of them. Actually, the public reason first. He wants to show how to be a devotee. Prabhupada, early in his, I think in 71 perhaps, 72, I think 71, he was invited to Gainesville, Florida, which he described as a remote corner of the world. And he was interviewed on television. He was a pretty good interviewer. So he said to Srila Prabhupada that you've come to this country, but you must have noticed that we have many churches. It is not that here in America there is no religious life, but there are many, many churches. But you must think that still there's something missing. You have to come and give us something that, in spite of having so many churches, we still need to hear something that you want to teach. So what is it that you have that is special that we don't have? Well, Prabhupada wanted to be very tactful. And so his first response is to say, yes, we do have many churches in this country, and I've been invited to speak in many of them also. But he didn't want to criticize. But the man persisted. He said, yes, but still you must think you have something special to offer that we don't have. What is it? And so Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement, the Sankirtan movement, he said, is most authorized. So this way he probably found some way to talk about what he had to offer without criticizing. He wanted to avoid criticizing. So he said he's most authorized. And then he explained. He said, in this television station, you're the head person here. So if someone has to receive directions how to do something, if you, the person in charge, gives the directions, then your instructions are most authorized. So similarly, we are learning how to perform devotional service. We are learning how to behave as devotees. And this instruction is given to us by the Lord Himself, who has come as a devotee. So therefore, His instructions, how to be a devotee, or how to worship Him, the most authorized. So this is sometimes it says that in Kali Yuga the Lord comes in a covered form, because He doesn't come as God. He comes as God's devotee. We have the mantra that we chant, where we have the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर ठाकुरेन्द्र नेमी लॉर्ड चैतन्य एंड हिज एसोसिएट्स इज कॉल्ड द पंच तत्व. द वर्ड तत्व मीन्स principle. It's a very philosophical word. It means a kind of ultimate principle. So why are these persons called tattvas? Well, it's like this. When you look at the picture of the Panchatattva, this represents, by the way, a particular incident in the house of Srivas, where Chaitanya and his associates were dancing together. And people suddenly realized who these people were. Because there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Then, of course, to his immediate, who we have here for Nithai, we have Lord Nityananda, who's to his right. And then Advaita. And then on the left side, Gadadhar. And then Srimas. So, who are they? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but in the form of a devotee. Then Nityananda is actually Balaram. Also, in the form of devotee. So we have this mantra also, Panchatat Patmikam Krishna Bhakta Rupa. There is Krishna as Bhakta Rupa in the form of a bhakta. And then Swarupakam as Lord Nityananda. His first expansion. And then Advaita. Advaita is actually Mahavishnu. Bhakta Avatar. In other words, Mahavishnu is the first of the Purusha avatars. So you have Krishna, his first expansion, and then his first, you might say, incarnation. Because he's Mahavishnu, and then Mahavishnu, and then Bhagavadakshaya Vishnu, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, these three forms of the super soul. So on the one side you have Krishna, his first expansion, and his next expansion is avatar. All three are Vishnu Tattva forms. They are one and the same personality of Godhead, but manifest in three ways. All of them have come now in the form of a devotee. On the other side is Gadadhar. Gadadhar is actually Radharani. In other words, not Vishnu Tattva, but Shakti Tattva. His internal energy. And then Srivas, he is Narada Muni. Jiva. So there you have it. The whole absolute truth is there. Krishna's expansions and incarnation, Krishna's internal potency, and Krishna's marginal energy. All are there, represented in the Panchatattva. So Krishna has come along with his associates, and together they are spreading this Yuga Dharma. That is a statement in the scripture that in this age of Kali, those who are Sumedhasaha, those who have sufficient intelligence, they will worship the Lord who appears along with his associates, Krishna Varna Krishna Krishna. He's saying the syllables Krishna, but he himself is appearing not as Krishna, or not as black, but as golden. And along with his associates, come with his associates and his potencies, and people will worship him by the performance of Sankirtan Yajna. This is the statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, mentioning the avatar for this age. So it's not arbitrarily that we are saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the avatar. And this is a statement stated in the Shastra quite clearly. So he comes, although this is the worst of ages in this Kali Yuga, and this particular cycle of yugas, Lord Chaitanya has come. We are fortunate to be living in a particular yuga cycle. It says that Brahma's day lasts for 1,000 yuga cycles. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you remember this, that he comes once in a day of Brahma. Only one yuga cycle does Krishna come himself. Now somebody comes in the Dwapara Yuga, every yuga cycle, but there's a special thing that happens that Krishna himself comes. And that same yuga cycle that Krishna comes, in the Dwapara Yuga, in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes. So this only happens once in the day of Brahma. Now, we have to understand what is the significance of Krishna. And it's when we say Krishna, we mean Vrindavan Krishna. Now we will come to the internal reason. When Krishna descended, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Yashoda, this is a very, very special disclosure. There's only one Supreme Personality of Godhead, but usually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Narayan, or as Vishnu. Narayan and Vaikuntha. The characteristic of Narayan is that he's very majestic. He's full of what in Sanskrit is called Aishvarya, majesty, power, opulence, greatness. He's God, come on, he has every right to it. And so the experience of meeting Narayan and Vaikuntha is, well, of course your hair stands on end and you start to cry because he's so magnificent. And of course completely very attractive and awesome. You realize this is God. And surrounded by all the, it's like any rich man you meet in his environment who's got, you know, the best of everything around. Well, this is the original rich man. And so you realize you're in the presence of the greatest personality. Everybody understands this about God. And immediately you become filled with awe, because God is in fact awesome and reverence. You feel very small because you see how great he is. And so this is the way that God is encountered. But you notice something, that because you're aware of the greatness of God, you're a little intimidated. You see how great he is and how small you are. So you feel with awe and reverence, but you keep your distance. You don't get so close. So this creates a problem for the Supreme Lord. Because with his devotees, he would also like to enjoy intimate relationships. Why should he be limited? And his own status as the Supreme gets in the way of having intimate relationships with his own devotees. So therefore he decides to that he has another aspect of himself where he's going to remedy this. And he suppresses his majesty so that another aspect of God, which is called Madhurya, his sweetness, will become visible. So just imagine two dials, majesty, Aishwarya, and Madhurya, sweetness. So here's the same Lord, but in one, as Narayan, the majesty is on full, turned up full force, and the sweetness is down because you can't experience it with the majesty. But as Krishna, the same Lord, now the sweetness overcomes the majesty, and the majesty is suppressed. So this means as Krishna causes his devotees to forget that he is God. Or they know it, but they don't care. It's not really relevant. They appreciate him just because he's the most attractive person. So as Krishna, the devotees enter into very private, intimate relationships. They can act as his parents. They can act as his buddies. And of course, the gopis are just his girlfriends. So, when you have Vrindavan, of course, God is great. And when he shows his greatness and his majesty, that's there. But what you see in Vrindavan was what we might call the private life of God. Krishna, as Narayan, or when Krishna is in Dwarka, this is his majesty is there. This is the urban Krishna. In Vrindavan, it's the rural Krishna. Because he has a very humble occupation. He herds cows. That's not like as Narayan. He's royalty. But as Krishna, he's a cowherd. He lives in a village. As Narayan, he's surrounded by these incredible goddesses of fortune. But as Krishna, there are these milkmaids, village girls, barefoot, it's actually there, all that majesty, but it's suppressed. It's suppressed. When Krishna is described, Sitamani Bhakara Sadmasu Kalpra Viksha Lakshavakeshu Suragira Piparyam Tamachi Sahasas of the Samaram Sayyidaman Govinda Vari Pusham Pajami. Here is Govinda, the primeval lord. And he's living in abodes that are made of Chintamani. So the building material, the stones, happen to be not just ordinary rocks, but Chintamani. Chintamani is a spiritual gem. You touch it to any other thing, it'll turn it into gold. It's the long sought for philosopher's stone of the alchemist. It's just lying on the ground everywhere. So the stones that they live in, they're little huts. They're made of Chintamani. And he's in the forest of Vrindavan. Vrindavan means a wilderness, actually. Jungle. Uncultivated land. So it's a forest, and there's so many trees, but every tree is a kalpa vriksha. There's a kind of kalpa vriksha in the heavenly planet that gives you anything you want, called a desire tree, or a wish-fulfilling tree. conglomeration. So every tree in this forest is a conglomeration. Jintamani Kakkar Satmasu Kalpur Riksha Vaishavite Sura Virati Bodhiyantan. And he's herding these cows. Just like today in India, in the country, you can see a little boy is herding the cows. Every one of these cows are Surabhi cows. They're also a kind of Surabhi cows in the heavenly planets. Their milk, you use the milk to perform sacrifice, you get everything you want. Wars were fought over one Surabhi cow. One Surabhi cow had his name. And Krishna has herding all these cows, huh? And these village girls, these milkmaids, they're actually Lakshmis. They are goddesses of fortune too. Not just one. People are praying to Lakshmi, please come stay in my house. He comes for just 10 minutes. I've got a maid, you know, but she doesn't stay for very long. Krishna has hundreds of them. So actually he's God. And all the opulence is there, but it's suppressed. So this is the private life of God. And you should understand, people are sometimes confused because we say that Krishna is the highest manifestation of the Lord. Many people who are Vaishnavas, they are of the opinion that actually the Supreme Lord is Narayan or Vishnu, and that Krishna is some incarnation of him, not the highest. That's because, you know, majesty, you know, tops it off. When you see who's the richest, it looks like Narayan. So that by that majesty they're impressed. But if you consider it, then it's the same Lord. And what you see with Krishna is the Lord's private life. In his public life, he's God. What does God do for fun? What does God do when he relaxes? For a long time, I think there was a television show in America called The Private Life of the Rich and Famous. Because everybody wants to know. It's actually more interesting than their public life. So, say you do something really great. You get invited to, let's say you're in England, you get invited to Buckingham Palace to a formal reception. If you're an American, they teach you how to bow or a woman a curtsy. And you get to meet the Queen of England, who you have to refer to as Your Majesty. So in a sense, you get invited to Buckingham Palace for some kind of event. And, you know, you've arrived. That's very, very good. But you're even more arrived if you get invited not to some public event, but to have breakfast with the royal family. Right? Now you're part of their private life. You see, that's higher. That's higher. And in Krishna, in the Lord's life as Krishna in Vrindavan, that's actually where love for Krishna becomes most intense. And therefore, that's why Krishna says he's not very well understood. Another prayer in the Brahma Samhita says about Krishna, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakti. Very difficult to discover this in the Vedas, but actually accessible by pure devotion of the soul. So Krishna is actually, the knowledge of the Lord's form as Krishna is esoteric. Esoteric means hidden. And you'll find in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is speaking there, he keeps describing what he's teaching Arjuna as Gujam, Gujatama, secret, the most secret knowledge, the most secret wisdom. It's there, the bottom of the Gita. Otherwise, it's a secret. Secret means that actually not very many people will understand it. As we were reading earlier, Prabhupada quotes Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, even of those who are liberated, hardly one understands him. Only one in a thousand. So this is secret knowledge. Now you can ask yourself, if it is so secret, how come I know it? This is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And it is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Krishna descended in the Dwarapati and brought with him the whole of his confidential Vrindavan pastimes and displayed them on earth, when Krishna descended, he brought with him the treasure house of love of God. But that treasure house remained locked. But when Lord Chaitanya appeared together with his associates, they broke open the lock and they plundered the contents and passed it out freely to everybody. When they chanted and danced, when the Panchatattva chanted and danced, they gave it to everybody and they did not consider who was fit and who was not fit. That's why I'm here, because they didn't consider. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission now, to make accessible, to give us the ability to actually understand and enter into Krishna's Vrindavan Lila. That's what he is. Whenever Krishna comes in the door, he displays his Vrindavan pastime. That is always followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who teaches us, it gives us a process by which we can become qualified to experience this intense level of love of God that is exhibited in Vrindavan. Now there's another aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we should understand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world occasionally, but he's actually an eternal feature of Krishna. And this is explained at the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because within Radha, Krishna is eternal and Radharani is eternal. Radha and Krishna together, they're the supreme male and the supreme female. And the dynamic of their love for each other is really gives an idea of what the life of Godhead is like. See, people sometimes think spiritual life is very boring. That was my experience as a child. I was, was brought by my parents to church and Sunday school. And at a certain point, I started to think about God a lot. And the first thing I thought of, thinking about was that what it meant that God was all-powerful. And if what I understood by all-powerful, it meant that all the work that he does to create and maintain this world, he can do with the tip of his little finger. It's not a challenge for him. It must be almost automatic. So then I got to, what does God do with his time? This is not a big jump for him. What does he do? And I asked my minister and my Sunday school teachers, what does God do with his time? And they just looked at me. And they couldn't tell me. There really was, just so unbelievable. And so I thought that God must be bored. And my experience of spiritual life, of going to church, was that you basically had to acquire a taste for boredom. So what does God do? Well, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam or the Krishna book, you begin to find out what he does. He is a party that always gets better. And we can understand the inner dynamics of the life of God, in which we are being invited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to participate, is that it is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the characteristics of opulences, the benedictions of Sankirtan, chanting the holy name, the association of devotees, is he says, Anandam Bhuti Vardhanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. Now what does this mean, that the ocean of transcendental bliss is increasing? Because the fact is, when it comes to the bliss or the joy that God is feeling, it is always increasing. How does it increase? But then that we have to understand. And we are actually supposed to contribute to that increase. There's something we can do. Well, originally, Radha and Krishna are one. Krishna is one. But he manifests himself as two for enjoyment. So that there's a dynamic. There's Radha and Krishna. One is the male side and the other is the female side. So with Radha and Krishna, there's an exchange of love. Now, this is described like this. Now, the exchange of love between Radha and Krishna takes place in spiritual bodies. Now, we have a material body. We are not these bodies. The soul is one thing, the mind is something else, and the body is something else again. But for a spiritual body, there's no difference between the soul and the body and the mind and the soul and the body is completely unified. And also, we are destined, we go back to that one, also our spiritual body right now, which is not manifest, has been manifest materially. We are also being, as Krishna is in the spiritual body, so will he be in the spiritual body. By the way, it says in the Bible, in the New Testament, St. Paul refers to when one goes to Godhead, that one will have a spiritual body. Numa kusansoma, the spiritual body. When somebody mentioned this to Prabhupada, he said, that is Vaishnava. But that body means person. That's a real person. So Radha and Krishna are there in their spiritual bodies. And so Radha looks at Krishna and she sees how beautiful Krishna is. And when she sees how beautiful Krishna is, her happiness increases. She becomes overjoyed. And because she becomes overjoyed, her beauty increases. We know that when people are very happy, they look better. Unfortunately, there's a limit. How good I can look, because well, there's a difference between my mind and my body. But in a spiritual body, there's no problem. Her Radharani's joy increases, and her beauty increases. And when Krishna sees that Radharani has become more beautiful, his happiness increases, and therefore his beauty increases. And when Radha sees that Krishna's become even more beautiful, her joy increases, and her beautiful, and so it goes like this, on and on, without any ends. This is the ever increasing ocean of bliss. This is a dynamic that's in transcendence. Now, it is said that in this relationship between Radha and Krishna, Krishna becomes amazed by Radharani. And what he really is amazed by is the depth of her love for him. And he wants to understand it. He really can't fathom it. And he wants to be able to fathom it. And to understand it. He also wonders, and actually he sees that although he is Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, Radharani is actually feeling more bliss than he is. And he wants to fathom that bliss. And he also wonders, what is it about me can inspire such love in her? So the only solution is, he has to, somehow or other, experience her emotions for himself. He can't do it as the object of love. He has to become himself the lover. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but now he's taken on the complexion, that is the golden complexion, and most importantly, the bhava, the emotions of Radharani. So he can now be a devotee, and especially a devotee like Radharani, and now see what it is like to be a devotee. You should think about this, because many people are, their aspiration in life, either material life or spiritual life, is to become God. God wants to become a devotee. He thinks it's better. So he's not going to be cheated. He's going to have the full range of experience. God is not limited. So he becomes his own devotee. So there's Krishna who's one. He divides himself into Radha and Krishna. For enjoyment, and then again they become one again in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is called in philosophy a dialectical movement. One becomes two and becomes, because the second one is not the same as the first one. Anyway, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is therefore this eternal feature of Krishna trying to explore and understand Radharani's love for him. So this particular this is why this feature of Chaitanya, of Krishna acting like a devotee, is always there. It's an eternal feature of Krishna who appears, and now is going to do something else. He is going to, in this pastime between Radha and Krishna, we are invited to. It's not exactly a private affair. Radharani, for example, has many gopis who are assisting her. It's described that Krishna is like the complexion of a tamal tree. Tamal tree is a bluish black tree. And Radharani is like a golden vine who's embracing or wrapped around this tamal tree. But her assisted gopis and their gopis, they are like the leaves and branches on that vine. So they all enhance and participate in this care of Radha and Krishna. So this way there are the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are engaged in very intimate relationships with Krishna. And we are being invited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to this level of what's called Braj Bhakti by following in the footsteps of the gopis or Nanda and Yashoda. Their love for Krishna is in a comfortable mood, but there's, you've got to also love Krishna very intimately as the feelings of a parent. So there's Nanda and Yashoda. And one can also follow in their footsteps. Or there's Balaram and the other cowherd boys who love Krishna like buddies or brothers, fraternal relationships. You can follow also in their footsteps. Ultimately, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing. So it's two things. One, he's offering the ultimate depth in devotion to God, this ecstatic love of God, and also he's making it available to everybody. He's giving this very, very powerful process of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this Sankirtan. And in the beginning of his instructions on that, he makes all these claims. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself who's giving this. This verse that is, let there be all victory, or may this Krishna Sankirtan be victorious. May it prevail. May it prevail in our lives, may it prevail in the world. Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. So when that prevails, there are different things that happen. First thing that happens is with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is Chaito Dharma Marjana. The mirror of consciousness, which we right now, our consciousness is meant to reflect Krishna, to reflect God. It can't, because it's like a mirror that's dirty. And its reflecting ability is dimmed. So this is Windex. Cleanses this mirror, Chaito Dharma the mind, cleanses the mirror of the mind, removes the dirty things. So just by chanting the dirty things from the mind and the heart, they disappear. Chaito Dharma the Marjanam Bhava Mahadavanu Nirvapanam. The material world is described as a blazing forest fire. In other words, you're entrapped in this fire. And it does not look good for you. Because you can't get out. But this extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Just as when all is hopeless, suddenly the clouds burst open and the water pours down, fire's gone. So it extinguishes the blazing fire of material existence. Shreya Kaya Chandika Vitaranam. The same Kirtan. This is a very complex little metaphor here. Our Shreya means our highest benediction or ultimate good fortune, is compared to the night blooming white lotus. Kairava is a white lotus that blooms only, usually the lotus flower opens in the daytime under the sunlight, but the night blooming lotus opens under the moonlight. So the Sankirtan is Chandrika, it is the moonlight which causes the white lotus of our ultimate good fortune to open up, spread its fragrance everywhere. So that ultimate good fortune is attaining the highest love of God. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Vidya is a feminine noun meaning spiritual knowledge. And that feminine spiritual knowledge is called a vadu. Vadu means a bride or the young wife. And Sankirtan is like the guru, Ujivanam, who enlivens this bride of transcendental knowledge. So our transcendental knowledge also becomes awakened and enlivened. And then Ananda Bhuti Vardhanam, which I mentioned already, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. We participate in the pastimes of Vrindavan Krishna so that the ever-increasing bliss of the Lord and the devotees and their mutual relationships gets further on and on and on. You may think, how can Krishna increase? Huh? Well, it's simply because there are certain things there's no upper limit. Do you think there's the highest, is there a highest number? Any number you name, you can always name the next one. So just like the sequence of natural numbers, there's no limit. So there's no upper limit to bliss. There's no upper limit to beauty. There's even no upper limit to the sense of humor of Krishna. However funny he always gets funnier. He's always fresh, never boring. This is the ever-increasing ocean of transcendental bliss. It gives us at every step a taste of the full nectar. Sarvatma snapanam, it completely purifies the entire self. It fully satisfies every thing in us without any remainder, like a total bath. Sarvatma snapanam. And therefore it is Param, it is the Supreme, and he says, let there be his Jayati, the sanctuary come. So this is the key significance of Mahaprabhu. By this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, that he gives us all these things are there. He has put this given us, especially the Maha Mantra, and told us about chanting the names of the Lord, so that if we follow, you've given a little bit of a process to do. But in the end, all we have to do is chant. And if we chant with a little care and attention, give the Lord a little respect, we will see that right away the potency of this Maha Mantra acts. It is not that we have to purify ourselves. We have to simply take advantage of the purifying agent that Krishna has given us, this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that Lord Chaitanya has spread. And you can see that it has been predicted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that his name would be chanted in every town and village in the whole world. And that is coming true in our lifetime. One last thing I want to mention, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the one chapter, a kind of an allegorical chapter, is depicted as a gardener. And he's planted a seed, and that seed is grown into a huge tree. That tree of many, many branches and sub-branches. And that tree is his Sankirtan movement. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in anxiety. Because now the time has come to harvest the fruit. And he's saying, who will help me? Who will help me? And he's anxiety that now it's coming, so many people are going to get the benefit. Somebody has to take care of all these devotees. Somebody has to help him. And so he asks that everybody in this world should take up this Sankirtan movement and become Krishna conscious and give it to others. And give it to others. This is the thing that will please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the most. That we bring others to Krishna. We come to Krishna ourselves, but we don't just do it for ourselves, but also we bring other people. And that way we also increase the ocean of transcendental bliss for Krishna. So that's the significance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's our very, very good fortune that we come into contact with it, you will find very, very sophisticated theology and spiritual philosophy and Chittanthropy. But actually, the whole thing is contained in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So even if you can't read, you can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And actually, you get the same advantage. So please, let us make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happy. Let us relieve him of his anxiety. And let us take up this practice of Krishna consciousness and let us introduce it to other people. Thank you very much. Any questions? Comments?
Yes. Raja, Chaitanya, the Supreme Lord, played the role of a devotee. There are certain instances of Leela where his supremacy came to the fore.
Yeah. Yeah, there are many times, there are certain times when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to his followers various of his forms as Krishna. They saw it, especially at Srivasananda. There were these epiphanies, these revelations, who they report that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed. One time he appeared as a Srimadev, another time he appeared as Vamanadev, appeared as Vahin Krishna, so many things. Yet at the same time, he did not like to be addressed or worshipped as God, because he was in the mood of a devotee. But sometimes, in his ecstasy, almost as though he didn't want it, the Godhood came out. And of course it served that purpose so that his followers could actually understand who they were dealing with and could understand who he was and what he wanted. And that's what they saw the Panchatattva, they could understand who these people were in their ultimate forms like that. At the same time, this happened. It's also a fact that the Sikh Goswamis and other people established Lord Chaitanya's teachings on the basis of Shastra. They researched all the Shastras. So then you can understand, just as I quoted one of the verses, there's many verses which actually describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ahead of time. Because all the avatars of Krishna are all predicted in the Shastra, and so they were able to find these also. So one should appreciate who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a devotee. We need to know that. But it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own mood that he didn't want to think of himself. He was in his pastime, and he would want always to be the devotee. But you can read these things. I think this is some book right here. No, this is another book. There's a book about the Panchatattva, and you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can read Chaitanya Bhagavat. These are the biographies in Bengali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here only 500 years ago. And so in Bengali, there are his biographies, Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Prabhupada translated, which is available by us. And also there was another one, the Mamadas Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, another biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can see what the eyewitnesses had to say about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The prediction is, by the way, that in this Kali Yuga, because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there will be a period of time where there's a golden age of Krishna consciousness, and that by taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can become protected from all the faults of the age of Kali. This is in a rainstorm, and you get under shelter, an umbrella or something, and you don't get wet. So although it may be Kali Yuga, it could become as better than Satya Yuga for those who follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, it's said that there will be this golden age of Krishna consciousness within Kali Yuga that's supposed to last 10,000 years. 5,000 years up and 5,000 years down. There's a note of realism for you. And then Kali Yuga will set in again completely. But for those 10,000 years, the first 500 years after Chaitanya appeared is considered to be a sandhya. Sandhya means like a dawn. Sandhya means before the sun is arising, but the light sky is getting lighter. So the first 500 years was a sandhya. That means the golden age actually started in 1986. This is what the pundits in Mayapur told me anyway. So that it actually began in 1986. So this Krishna consciousness movement will actually, these predictions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this tree will grow and there will be so much fruit to harvest, love of God, and we'll have to help them with it. This will come true. Okay. Yeah.
Maharaj, thank you so much for laying out very clearly the tattva of Mahaprabhu and Krishna. Sometimes what happens is that people come with a background of demigod worship, mm-hmm. and they come to know that Krishna is the highest, mm-hmm. and Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda are the highest, and you have to surrender to them. But either they are afraid, or they feel guilty of giving up the demigod worship because they feel like, what if my demigod gets back at me if I give up his worship? Or I've been worshipping him so long, my family has been worshipping him so long.
Right. Well, we have a story in Krishna Lila where he persuaded everybody to stop worshipping Indra. And Indra tried to get back. But he didn't succeed. And of course, but that was to teach Indra a lesson. All the devotees are worshippers of Krishna, ultimately. They worship Krishna. And they will not be jealous. They will be happy. They will be happy. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So, worshipping Krishna is described in the Bhagavatam as like pouring water on the root of a tree or giving food to the stomach. When you pour water on the root of a tree, all the leaves and the branches and the twigs and limbs, they all become nourished. When you put the food in the stomach, the hand may object, wait a minute, you know, you're giving up. Why does the stomach get all the food? Why not me? You know, but actually the hand is nourished. If the hand tries to eat by himself, what will happen? Nothing. Similarly, if you try to water your tree by just putting it on the branches. So actually the demigods are also satisfied by worship of Krishna. That is also satisfied. There's no harm in worshipping. They're also devotees. But any devata who's worshipped should be worshipped as a devotee for Krishna. Not as somebody that's independent of Krishna or equal to Krishna. So it's not necessary that you have to give it up. You should understand properly that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and all the Devas and Sahis are his servants. Okay. Anything else? But if you don't have time, you can just worship Krishna. Yes.
Tell us if there's a right or a wrong way to pray to God.
Is there a right or a wrong way to pray to God? Yeah, we should know what to pray for. Ultimately, we should know what to pray for. Sometimes we don't know what to ask for. Anytime there's a prayer, there's a request for a benediction. And even pure devotees ask for benedictions. When we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we're asking for a benediction. Oh my Lord, oh energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That's a benediction. And the corollary is there, please disengage me from everything that gets in the way of your service. That's what we should ask for. It is not necessary to ask for anything material from Krishna. That's like going to somebody who can give you a donation of $1 million and asking for a dime. We should have the confidence that when we attain Krishna consciousness, automatically we shall be satisfied in every department. No need for, you have to, really to be successful in Krishna consciousness, our aim needs to be one. And to have that single-minded aim, we should understand that I will not be lacking in any department if I attain Krishna consciousness. So, not only our spiritual needs will be fulfilled, but whatever psychological, social, economic, and so on, political, they'll also be taken care of. You'll see. Okay? That's what we should pray for. Anything else? Yeah?
So you said if the mind and the body and the soul and the spiritual form becomes one.
They are one. They don't become one.
They are one.
They are one.
So in this present life, with this body, we can attain such a thing? Or?
Yeah, it can be. Sure. Because as we advance in Krishna consciousness, see, right now, the soul is arising. And to say, God is a person, or I'm a person, is to say that I have senses. But because we come into the material world, our senses have been manifested materially. And when we say a body, all by a body we only mean an organized arrangement of senses. And senses, indriya, means the instruments by which we perceive of the environment of the world, and the instruments like our hands and legs and voice by which we also act back on the environment. The karmendriya and the gyanendriya. And also the mind and so on is also considered a subtle instrument or sense. So that's what a person is, has senses, the center of consciousness with senses. And that's what a body is. But now our body is manifest in this way. Because our original spiritual body, all the senses, their purpose is to engage in loving service of Krishna. But we wanted to try to become God ourselves. So now we have this other kind of body, which as normally we use it, Krishna is not available. There's me, the sense objects, and I'm the enjoyer, and where's God? Not available. Atasi Krishna nama dhyana vedgayam anyway. Therefore, our senses, as they are now constituted, cannot grasp cannot understand Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities. Not graspable by our material minded senses. Sevamo kehi jiva dosvayam eva svaratsadam. However, when those senses are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, they become enabled, or they regain their original power. So even these material senses can be spiritualized by being used in Krishna service. So as that happens, as far as the soul goes, the spiritual senses that are really part of the soul become reawakened. Ramanujacharya says when the souls are in the material world, the souls become packed up, compacted. Everything is manifest materially. But as we realize our spiritual identity is realized in relationship with Krishna. As a relationship with Krishna, as we come to know who Krishna is, we also come to find out who we are. And who we are is a fully endowed spiritual person acting in a relationship with Krishna. So that a devotee on the highest level of advancement is manifest here in this world with what's called a sadhaka deha, this material body, but which has been spiritualized by being used in Krishna's service, where I act here like a devotee, but also at the same time a siddha deha, a spiritual body in which that devotee will actually be engaged in Krishna's Vrindavan Lila. So two bodies, two places at once, in the material world and in the spiritual world. And that can happen in this life.
So on that note, does our material body ever look like our spiritual body? Because I know the material body, you know, you get old.
So the material body it still remains like a material body, even though it is as good as a spiritual body. In other words, that if one is fully engaged in Krishna's service, the material body is no impediment doesn't stand in the way of devotional service. So Prabhupada compared the material body of a pure devotee to a gold-plated box. The siddhadeha, the fully spiritual body, let's call that the solid gold box. So this one here, if we are on the pure devotee, is a gold-plated box, which means, for all practical purposes, as good as solid gold. So we see that pure devotees, the symptoms of old age are there, and so on. In the spiritualized material body. You're not attached to it anyway, so it doesn't matter. you've already got another thing going. Okay,
I have one question I was going to ask. Before you started the class, you were speaking about how we call each other should chant chakra, and you said that you should just say the holy name. But what about the role of Lila Smile and also the integral part of it?
Prabhupada described the chanting as the cry of a child for his mother. So the recommendation is one just calls on Krishna. Now, when one becomes advanced, in a natural sequence, the sequence by which Krishna becomes revealed, because Krishna and Krishna's name are the same. And he goes, Krishna, Krishna is nothing but the same. Everything about Krishna is in the name. But the sequence, first the name is revealed, because at first we actually cannot actually experience Krishna's name. If we're chanting attentively and chanting while trying to give up offenses, then we will experience the dawning light of the holy name, this Namabhasa. And this Namabhasa, the holy name is like the sun below the horizon in the morning, but this light of the sun is in the sky. This Namabhasa destroys all sinful reactions and brings us to the state of liberation. That means chanting on the clearing platform, that is, chanting while trying to give up offenses. No sense in trying to chant and remember Lila Smarnam at the same time while I'm committing offenses against the holy name. My effort should be to chant while trying to give up offenses. Then gradually the name will be revealed. The sun will come above the horizon. So the sequence is first the name. First there's realization of Krishna's name. Then his form. Then his qualities. And then his lila. That's all contained within the name. So my understanding is that we should concentrate on the name and then gradually by his own self, Krishna will reveal these things to us. Yeah?
Very briefly, can you go over how Krishna, Lord Chaitanya disappeared his final days?
It's said that he entered the temple of Tota Gopina and did not come out. Okay. That's all. If you go to the temple of Tota Gopina, it's still there. You give the Pujaris a little money, they will take out the dress of Tota Gopina, and you will see a gold streak. I think it's on his legs, I don't know.
Huh?
On his knee, yeah. And then they said that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merged into the body of Tota Gopina.
Who is that person
you mentioned?
It's a deity?
It's a deity. Yeah, you can still see that deity. So the report is he entered the temple of Tota Gopinath. I don't think anybody was in the temple except the deity when he went in. And he never came out. And then they discovered this golden streak that was not there before on the knee of Tota Gopinath. And so the story is that he merged into the deity. Okay. All right, it's getting late. How many more people probably get hungry? All those things are getting late. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah.